message you're about to listen to is from the altar of Impact House International Church. Stay blessed as you listen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. I'm glad to be in His presence this evening. I don't know about you, but I know that you are also glad to be in His presence, because the Bible says in His presence there is fullness of joy, and at His right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Hallelujah. I'm privileged to be here this evening, and I want to appreciate God for this great privilege to start up the new series in this month. The series in this Wednesday for this month is Biblical Standards for Successful Relationship and Marriage. Biblical Standards for Successful Relationship and Marriage. How many of us are excited about this series? Every series in this ministry is always a power-packed one. And I'm trusting God that this season you will be blessed. In the name of Jesus. Your relationship, in your marriage, you will be blessed in the name of Jesus. Quickly open with me to the book of Genesis chapter 2 verse 18. But before we read, I just want us to understand something. You know, we are having biblical standards for successful relationship and marriage. That word biblical standards means that there is a... God is the originator of relationship himself. God is the one that originated relationship, he originated marriage. Marriage is God's idea. So the owner, whenever you buy something new, maybe a car or an equipment, there's always a manual. If you want to enjoy the product you bought, maximum enjoyment, what you need to do is go through what? The manual, so that you can get to, you know, I've once said this here before, I once had a gas cooker that the manual was written in, I don't know, even know the language. Maybe it's Chinese, maybe it's Japan, I don't know. But I just know that I was underutilizing the gas cooker. All I knew what to do was to just cook. That was all. But the cooker could do much more. It could grill, it could bake, it could do so much more. But because there was a day I sat down with it, but I couldn't decode the language. So there's nothing I could do. What am I trying to say? If you are not able to decode the manual the original manufacturer has designed for a particular equipment, you can't get the best use of it. God is the originator of marriage, is the originator of relationships. And so, he has a standard, he has a way, a procedure that he wants it to be. And unless we go by that standards, we can't enjoy any relationship. We can't enjoy marriage. We can't enjoy that intimate relationship with anyone. Praise the Lord. You know, there is a worldly standard. That's why this one is the biblical standard. The worldly standard will only lead into where? Damnation. But God's standard, the biblical standard, leads you what? To eternal glory. You will enjoy, your marriage, your relationship will be like heaven on earth. Hallelujah. In Genesis chapter 2 verse 18, the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. He said, I will make him and help meet for him. God said, it is not good that man should be alone. In other words, God saw that man being alone is not a good idea. So if you are here tonight and you are alone, and you haven't gotten anybody yet, my God that originated and said this would divinely connect you. Because the Bible said, God said, it said, it is not good that man should be alone. And the second one, the second phrase there says, I will make him and help meet. In other words, there is somebody for everybody. He says, I will make him and help meet. I will make him and help meet for him. Our God is a God. He doesn't create something. God is not a man. It is man that would create something and then look for the solution for that thing. God already makes provision before he creates human beings. He created Eden before he made Adam. Yes or no? God created the world. He said he created heaven and earth. He created the seas, he created the plants, everything he felt man could need before he made man. So God will always make provision. He has already made provision for your helpmate. So if you're worried that I have not had, or I'm not in any relationship, and I'm of a marriageable age, or I'm not yet in one, or I haven't found one yet, I want to assure you tonight that my Bible tells me that he has already made one for you. You don't need to worry. And via tonight's meeting, the God originator of marriage will connect you. In the name of Jesus. I say my God will connect you. In the name of Jesus. I said it earlier that there is a worldly standard and there is a biblical standard. Only biblical standards make relationship and marriage successful. You know, there is somehow, some of us watch a whole lot of Nollywood, and then we have been programmed that there is a particular way a relationship should be like. Maybe when you see, when a guy, some of those movies, when you see a guy that sees a pretty lady, the next thing is what? Marriage. That is what you think. I mean, that is what the Nollywood has made us to think. But that is not the truth. Seeing a pretty lady alone does not make you end up with that lady in marriage. Praise the Lord. So there is a standard that we, and quickly we are going to be treating it in two parts. I'll first address the singles, then we'll address the marriage. I will first address the singles, then we'll address the marriage. So quickly, biblical standards for singles in relationship. I have three standards here. There are so many standards, but because of time, I'll just pick three. Three standards for singles in relationship. Number one, love is essential. Tell your neighbor, love is essential. When you are going into a relationship with someone, it is, you must go into a relationship with someone that you like, you really love. Love is essential in any relationship. Don't go into a relationship because of any other reason, but because you genuinely love that person. And you know, nowadays, or in this modern time, many people will tell you, when there's money, what do you mean by love? That love, will you use it to cover up for the money? Somebody will tell you, even somehow I've heard guys tell me that before this lady can tell me yes, he's first asking me about my bank account. He's asking me about this before she can consider. That is not love. Love is essential, and there are some signs. There are so many signs of love, but I just extracted some in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 to 7. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 to 7. I want us to read together. 1 Corinthians 13. That's to tell us the real kind of love that God wants us. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 to 7. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity also means love. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It is not puffed up. It doth not behave itself unseemingly. It seeketh not our own. It is not easily provoked. It thinketh no evil. Verse 6. It rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in what? In the truth. Verse 7, the last verse in which we are going. It beareth all things. Can you imagine? Love beareth all things. Love believeth all things. Love hope all things. Love endures all things. Hallelujah. If we can, this, because of my time, I can't expatiate, but honestly, if you can go down when we get home and get another version, maybe the Amplified, and understand the meaning of all that has been said in that, you know that you ask yourself if the relationship you are in, if you are in one, if it is a sign of love, you would know. Love, there's another version that said love does not keep record of wrongs. I can never forget that particular scripture. There was when I first got married, very early in my, you know, days that I first got married, and then I don't know what happened. I was just angry with my husband, and then he was asking me, what is the matter? What did I do wrong? And I said, I can't even remember again, but you know, you offended me, and I was almost in tears. He said, hey, what did I do? That is, that scripture just came to mind. I said, you know, love does not keep record of wrongs. He just started laughing. And for that reason, I will never forget that scripture. Somehow, if you are in a relationship with somebody, and the person can remember in details what you did 2 years ago that offended him, that pained him, what you did on the 4th of June, 2016, you did it. She did not have a diary, but she knows it offhand. In fact, you repeated the same thing on the 6th of August, 2017. This year, 2018, you brought it up again on the 1st of January. As if that is not enough. My Bible tells, just know that that is a sign that that person does not truly love you. Quickly, because of my time, I just picked some few things. Number one thing to watch out for, the signs of love. Watch out for unconditional love. That's what I just explained to us. Unconditional love. That love is unconditional. Why does that guy love you? Or why is he in a relationship with you? Is it because of your shape? Is it because of your beauty? Beauty will go. Beauty will go. You know, ladies, somehow there's an adage that says ladies are sometimes like flower. There is a time, we have our prime age. There is a time that guys will keep coming and they will keep chasing because of the figure, the shape, the look. You can even use your own self. Go and take your mommy's picture, your grandma's picture. Ask her to give you her picture when she was 15. Compare it to how she looks out at now. And you can imagine the kind of physiological thing that has gone forth. The, you know, flabbiness, the everything. Praise the Lord. We will all go through it, so don't be scared. But one thing is, making use of each of those stages appropriately and to the glory of God. Praise the Lord. We will all go in, but the question is, in that relationship that you are in, is it for that the person genuinely loves you for who you are? Not because, well, you know, some guys will date a girl because the father is a wealthy man. Or the girl's father is connected and somehow I cannot, you know, be poor till the rest of my life. My dear, my Bible tells me that wealth, riches have wings and they can fly. But when you don't base your love on some petty things, love her for who she is or love him for who she is. Praise the Lord. Many ladies nowadays are looking for, they say there's no surulere. There's Olorun Sogo Abi, there's complete. Praise the Lord. You know, the criteria now is, where are you working? How many cars? What's here? Where are you? You know, all those things. But be yourself and know that anybody that has made it in life did not get there in one day. They started from somewhere. I was showing somebody my husband's, our wedding video. Oh my God. And the person said, is this my pastor? I said, yes. Praise the Lord. It's a clear difference. Oh my God. So, praise the Lord. Honestly, so the person you are going out with, that is not his bus stop. That is not her bus stop. The glory will keep, you know, becoming brighter and brighter. So if you are looking for the ready-made, I don't want to go through the refineries, don't want to go through the raw materials, you might just buy a fake. Praise the Lord. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. So watch out for unconditional love. Don't let him or her be in a relationship. If you are, check yourself. If you are in a relationship at the end of this service, just rate yourself and check it. Number two, is he or she your friend? Marry your friend. If you are single, marry your friend. Marry somebody you can chat with, your gist partner. Somebody you can sit down, you don't even know time has gone. Somebody, that's a sign that there is a connection. If you are struggling to keep a conversation with that person, check it. If in 30 minutes his company bores you, check it. There's something missing. If it's Adam said it is my rib. So if there's a connection, praise the Lord. And then quickly, number three, don't marry out of pity or sympathy. Because you are feeling for that sister. Oh, you just feel that sister, too many people have jilted her, and let me just help her and come into that situation. Bro, you are not a helper in that area. That's not a good help. That's a devilish help. Praise, don't marry out of pity. Don't marry out of sympathy. Praise the Lord. That's not love. Number four, don't be in a relationship with someone who thinks he or she is doing you a favor. In 1 Corinthians 13 verse 4, it says, love doesn't brag. Love is not proud. Love doesn't brag. Don't be in a relationship with somebody who thinks he's doing you a favor. If he's doing you a favor, then let him search elsewhere. Praise the Lord. And then another sign is, it is not love to be in a relationship with somebody who believe that they are too good for you. Yeah, some people are like that. They are too good for you. They will tell you, you should consider yourself lucky that I found you. Because if not, I don't know, I'm sure you won't have even gotten someone to marry you. It is irrespective of the size. You know, somehow there's something we call self-esteem. I have said this thing before. Before I got married, the ministry I was working in Lagos, we had a sister in my department in ushering there. She was big. Well, not very reserved sister. And all of a sudden when she brought her cards to us, the pretty ones among our department said, have you heard? Sister Laboja is getting married. And I said, that's good news. She said, Sister Nyema Sonrake. And you know, I was just trying to correlate that. My point is, they were thinking, if husband is being distributed according to size, then, they should have gotten before that lady. But that is not it. But that lady had something called self-esteem and good carriage. Praise the Lord. Don't marry, don't let the person in your that you are going out make you feel as if he's doing you a good. That's not a good sign of love. That is not. And then the last test is the peace test. The peace test. Peace test. There will be an inner peace that you have if that person is the real person for you. You will have an inner peace. There will be something, there's a strong conviction you won't be able to explain, but you'll be so sure that this person when you pray about it, there's an inner peace that you have. Not today trouble, tomorrow trouble, you keep having one issue or the other. For somehow when you ask them, what is the issue? What are you two of you fighting? They can't even tell you what is the problem. I don't know, he just got me angry. The way he took the phone and called me. He said hello, and I said, you cannot hang up like that. You know, flimsy things. And you'll be wondering, is it more than that? And it has made an issue. So much so that, do you understand? So there's something called peace test. So do that peace test. If you have peace, inner peace, that's a sign. And then number two, that's all on that number one. Love is essential. Quickly on number two, avoid premarital sex. That's a biblical standard for a successful relationship. Number one is love. Number two is avoid premarital sex. We are in an age whereby people make you feel, the movies they show, everything that is being shown makes you feel as if you must have sex before marriage. N-O, no. If you have been involved before now, please let tonight be the end. Don't let it, the last time you had it will be the end. Tonight marks the end of such. Because premarital sex is not biblical. God detests it and does not allow it. The Bible says in Hebrews 13 verse 4, marriage is honorable and the bed undefiled. Amplified version, I love the way it put it. Amplified said, let marriage be held in honor. Let marriage be held in honor. It means you have a responsibility to hold that marriage in honor. That relationship must be held in honor. The question you should ask yourself genuinely, that relationship you are in, are you holding it in honor? And the bed undefiled. But God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. Brethren, sex before marriage, people tell you it is old-fashioned. It's not old-fashioned. In fact, that is the modern fashion. Sex before marriage is no. It is not. Tell where we read earlier that said, love does not seek its own self. That means if that guy really loves you, let him wait. And if that lady really loves you, he won't push you into sin. Joseph, he knew the implication of adultery. He fled. He left Potiphar's house with speed, because he knows that if he stayed there, he could have fallen. If he left and his coat did not fall, Bible said the woman was able to hold the coat. For the woman to hold the coat, he didn't tear, he removed it from him. So I want to believe he has made the at first move. His body must have been seeing a lot of chemistry. And then because the Bible didn't say the thing tore. He didn't tear from his body. That's a different thing. He removed it. Gabadaya, the whole robe was there. So that means he had made some moves. But he was struggling. I said, no, I can't continue. I will not do it. He ran. I said, don't let me be ashamed, oh God. And he ran out. Praise the Lord. Brethren, if that relationship, that sister or that brother keeps putting too much pressure, run away just like Joseph did. And flee. Cut it off. It will save you better. Quickly, effect of premarital sex. It gives fear. Premarital sex brings fear. Fear of the unknown. You're fearful. Fear of the future. Fear if is this how marriage will be? Is this how it's all going to be? Unnecessary fear. And number two, effects of premarital sex is exposure to STDs. There are so many diseases that are not yet invented. It can be gotten through premarital sex. Yeah. So please stay away from premarital sex. Number three, it can give low self-esteem. As a lady, I've counseled some ladies before, and they will tell you, because I feel, you know, because they've done it once or twice with that particular brother, they want to stay there and manage all his... When you are seeing obvious signs that this guy is not meant for you, they want to still stay there and manage him because they feel they have sown their body already. Let me cuckoo manage and let him cuckoo marry me. May that not be your portion. Self-esteem. Premarital sex does what? It removes self-esteem. It removes a whole lot of self-esteem from you. It doesn't make you stand up as a lady. If a guy tells you he's no longer interested, as a lady that has dignity and you haven't sold yourself, oh, you look at him and say, well, good riddance, the bad rubbish. Join the queue. Uh-huh. And then you refurbish yourself and let another better guy come forward. There's a saying that when somebody removes his own carpet, a better rug will come forward. So let him go. But you can't raise your head up high and talk like that if plenty waters have gone, if you know what you have done, what you have sold. God will help us in Jesus' name. Defilement. It defiles. And then last one, living in guilt. Premarital sex causes living in guilt. You live in guilt. Then the third one, that's the third point, under singles for biblical standards for relationship is spiritual connection. Spiritual connection. In 1 John chapter 4 verse 8, it says, he that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. 1 John chapter 4 verse 8. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. God is love. No man can love unless what? He has known God. Because God himself is the true definition of love. God is the true definition of love. So if you're looking or you're trusting God for the right person, connect to God, to the real love himself. Connect to God and let him fix you up. Praise the Lord. Connect to God. Singles, make God the center of your life. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And every other thing, it includes a good relationship, a good marriage will be added onto you. Praise the Lord. You know, some have feminine physiology. That doesn't make them a wife for you. Some have masculine physiology. It doesn't make them your husband. I hope you know that. It is only God that knows that person that fits you. So if you connect to him, he will connect you to the right person. It is not everybody in the barrack that is a soldier. Some are there to sell. Some are there like their relatives. Not every fish, not everything in the water is a fish. There are so many things that are there that are not fishes. In other words, there are so many people in the church that you think are born. Not every one of them are born. Born again. That's what we call born. Not everybody is a born again. Everybody comes to church. But when you are spiritually sensitive, brother or sister, because you saw that sister shaking her head during prayers or hitting the head against the wall or blasting in tongue, doesn't make her the right person. You have to spiritually connect. Be sensitive. Be sensitive. Be sensitive. I heard the story of a man who came to church to marry and another woman who came to church to marry. The lady, after they got married, their wedding night, the guy brought out a bottle of beer and started opening, and which he had never done before, expecting the sister to say, ah, you deceived me. The sister too brought out her cigarette and said, now today I did dear, put the light. and then puff the thing in front of the guy. Then we did together. And the guy said, what? You deceived me. You deceived me too. Praise the Lord. May that not be our portion. But I think I kind of like that kind of combination. Anybody that is coming deceitfully, we also be deceived. Yeah, because why would you come innocently to take an innocent sister that has been fabulous in the spirit? You want to go and punish her at home? God forbid. God will not, you know, our God is a faithful God. He won't watch his own daughter, the person that has labored in his house, be destroyed in the place of marriage. That is why it is essential for you to spiritually connect. Tell your neighbor, be spiritually connected. Be spiritually connected. It is essential. You know, it is essential. Not everyone can be emotionally attached to. You cannot be emotionally attached to everybody. There are some people you can't be close to. It draws virtue from you. In 1 Kings chapter 11, quickly verse 1 to 4. I'll quickly let us read so that we'll see something. 1 Kings 11, 1 to 4. I read. But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonites, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come into you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these people in love. Can you imagine? And if you, God had already given instruction, don't move with some particular people. And it were these people that Solomon went after. And in verse 3, the Bible says he had 700 wives, princesses, 300 concubines, and his wife. And his wife turned away his heart. Praise the Lord. In verse 4, for it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. God had given instruction. There are some people you cannot be emotionally attached to. They will draw virtue from you. May that not be our portion in the name of Jesus. I said, may that not be our portion in the name of Jesus. So please, singles, avoid aimless association. Aimless association that has no meaning, no bearing. You are a lady. Your friends are just brothers. I don't have a problem with them, but I have a problem with you staying with them 24 hours. Because that's what we call aimless association. You will not allow the right people to come in and ask your hand in marriage. They will think that you are connected. Somehow, they will keep attaching you to. So let your relationship with people be defined. Let them know where you stand. Let them know where you stand. It gives you better view. Praise the Lord. And as a brother, you are a bro. Oh, sister so and so invited you for lunch today. It was rice, chicken, and peri peri, everything assorted dodo beside it. Oh, you ate. You said thank you. The following day, you still went again to knock and say, Sister Labaja, how are you? I appreciate you. I just came in. I was just passing by. I was doing evangelism. I just said I should pop in. That afternoon, she was making amala. Because of you, she went out. She didn't have meat. She went out to buy bokoto. She cooked. You ate it. The third day, you ate. The fourth, subsequently, once a while, after a while, they now ask you, what is your relationship with sister? We say, no, we are just friends. You are a wicked brother. Yes. When you know you are not interested, don't allow her waste investments. Yeah, there are some things, dignity should learn to say. If you took it the first day, the second day, you know, love has different languages. Sometimes it may not be with mouth. Somehow it could be with kind gestures. When you buy me gifts today, you buy me gifts tomorrow, you keep buying me. Plenty of brothers are not buying me gifts. How come it's only you? I understand that you are passing a message to me. You are eating my food every now and then, and she's going through a whole lot. They now ask you what's the relationship between the two of you. You say we are just friends, so nothing extra. The same. You are a wicked brother. When you know that you can just best, if you are that, if any, God forbid, if anybody is like that or has been involved in such, please stop it. Honestly, that's not good. And for the brother too, if you know you are not interested, don't go close. Stay afar and appreciate her from afar. Yeah, I appreciate you. So that she will understand that this brother has no intentions. And then so that she makes, because somehow if she's already attached, Somebody else might be asking, and she will already feel that because she's already, you know, she has started sowing an offering with Amalan today and rice, and your throat will not let you say no. Learn to say no. Tell your neighbor, learn to say no. Not that, yeah, that shows his dignity. Praise the Lord. God will help us in Jesus' name. And for, you know, for ladies too, it's not every gift to keep taking. Somebody gives you a gift today, you take. If the gift is beyond what you can take, return it. And if the gift is becoming every now and then, ask, sorry, it's not my birthday, what is it for? Yes, please do. Don't say it's because it's not my fault that I'm pretty. Yes, it's not your fault, but there's something wrong with your senses if you cannot think in that way. Because you want to keep having the gift, and yet you don't want to make yourself define it. That's what we call a woman of value and virtues. Honestly, learn to say no. When somebody gives you gift, if it's a gift today, you accept it. You say, God bless you, I appreciate you. For what? You sang. Sister Tayo is already there. Sister Motunrayo, you sang beautifully well in choir. I just want to bless you. You bless her. The following day, it's because I love your clothes. The third day, the sister too, because of him, wear something nice and expect him to also commend it. Praise the Lord. So, bro, sis, the Lord will help you. Make do where it is necessary. Counsel to singles, quickly. My time is fast spent. Have a clear direction. Singles, have a clear direction and focus for your life. Have a clear direction. Don't let anybody lord their own over you. Have a clear direction. Number two, let God be the main person in your life. That's what I said earlier, spiritual connectivity. Number three, watch out for danger signals. Before marriage, watch out for danger signals. Quickly, danger signals. If a man is quick tempered, pim, 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 he can break bottle and you are in a relationship. That's a danger signal. Run from such. If a woman is a spend all, you give her 5 naira, she has spent everything. Watch it. If a man doesn't value his mother or his sisters, he can't value you. If a man doesn't value his mom, watch the way he relates with his own immediate family. That's how he's going to relate with you and your family if he gets married to you. There's no magic anywhere. Praise the Lord. If a man raises his hands on you while you are in a relationship, don't manage it. Don't manage it. He said, as we were talking, I just felt like breaking, but before you, don't even allow him land. Carry your everything and free. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Quickly, biblical standards for the married. Biblical standards for the married. The singles will also benefit from here as well, because we all going to get married someday. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Quickly, I would like to read Ephesians 5, verse 22. Ephesians 5:22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Next verse. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and gave himself for it. Did you hear that? That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it will be holy and without blemish. May God help us all in Jesus' name. Quickly, I'll first speak to the wives. Number one, for the wives, this is for the women, married women, or the single ladies that want to get married pretty soon. Number one, in Ephesians chapter 5 verse 26, it says, wife, submit yourself unto your own husbands. Number one requirement for the biblical standard of marriage for the wife is what? Submission. Bible says, wife, submit unto your own husband. The Bible is so clear. Bible didn't say, wives, love. Because God knows that women don't have problem in loving. Women don't have problem in loving, but they have problem in submission. A woman can love easily. Oh yeah, just tell her sweet words, buy her good things, and then she's already melting. But a submission is where, that's what the Bible says, Wives, submit. Wives, submit. Submit as the church submits to what? The authority. As authority of the Lord Jesus. Just the way the church is in submission to the Lord Jesus. That is how the wife is expected to submit to her own husband. Women, submit. Submission is key in marriage. You know, it doesn't matter. The man may be short, may be fat, may be dark. He may even be a security personnel. It doesn't matter. The most important thing is, if you can submit to him as your husband, his reign as the king in his house is better. The more you submit, the better his reign as a king will be. And the better he will become blessed. Praise the Lord. Your submission is needed for him to be blessed. When you submit to him, you will help him to become a better king. Have you ever imagined a kingdom if they have unruly subjects whereby they are not submissive to their king or they are not submissive to the authority in charge? What happens? That society or that kingdom can't have progress. Why? Because when the king gives an instruction, they do the other one. That's how it is in the home. In your home, your husband is the Lord. Your husband is the king. Your submission helps his reign to what? Make your home better. As wives, ensure your submission is total. Total submission in every way. In your attitude, in your character. Some people will tell me, you know, submission is not slavery. It's a counsel people and they tell you, mama, it's as if this thing is like this. It's as if, am I a slave? That is not, marriage is sacrifice. And God specifically, it's an instruction. Submission is not slavery. Submission is what? It's a commandment. And if you are a believer, then you will find it easy to obey that commandment. I pray the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. I pray the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. So, you know, in 1 Samuel chapter 25, verse 3, the story of Abigail there. Abigail was a woman of what? Good understanding according to the Bible. And her husband was a foolish man. Abigail was a woman of good understanding. And yet her husband was a foolish man. I wonder if Abigail was not submissive enough, she would have packed out of Nabal's house long time ago. Because the two cannot dwell together. But I believe with submission, anything can work. Praise the Lord. So learn to submit. Number two, to the wife, contribution to his life's dreams. A man wants a woman that can contribute to his goals. A man wants a woman that can contribute. As a woman, play your part in his vision. Play your part. If your husband is in the music industry, do all you can to ensure that his music industry prospers or works. In any way you can, help him. Be a contribute to his ministry. Contribute to his career. Contribute to his vision. Oh, your husband told you, guess what, darling? I just got a contract. Oh, what comes to me is about 500,000. And you're like, wow. The following day, you bring out a shopping list of about 400,000. You give it to him. That's not a woman of wisdom. Help him to do what? Accomplish his goal. That's, you know, some information about your husband does not give you the right and authority to make some nasty decisions as a woman. Hallelujah. God will help us more in Jesus' name. I said God will help us. Number three, attention. Give your husband enough and more than enough attention. A woman needs to give her husband attention daily. Attend to her, attend to him. Learn to attend to him. Wives, don't delegate your role in your home. See to your husband's needs at all times. No matter how many children have gone off from your body, ensure you are still in vogue. Ensure you are still your husband's eye. You do all you can. Don't wrap around yourself and make yourself look haggard and older than you are. You made a new hair all through. As you are in the house, you cover it with hair nets. Who did you make it for in the first place? Praise the Lord. Ensure you get your husband's attention by all means. Do his dishes. Allow no one serve him. And do it yourself. Praise the Lord. Husband's requirement. Number one, unconditional love. Ephesians 5 verse 25 that we read earlier. Unconditional love. No woman wants a soldier-like attitude in a man. No woman wants a soldier in a household. Husband's love. God knows that that is why the problem the men have problem with. He said, husbands, love your wife. Husbands, how? And God went, the Bible went ahead to describe how he wants you to love that woman. He said, just as Christ loved the church. Christ loved the church so much that he gave his entire life for it. Husbands, can you sacrifice everything for that woman? When you are in the house with your woman, ensure you are there to protect, show love, attention, care. And every now and then, shower your, don't hoard your affection. Your affection, you are hoarding it in the house, outside. I appreciate you. Oh, I appreciate you. How was your day? You are smiling, you are asking people. You are a Santa outside. But in your house, you are what? You are a sadist. May God help us. And may that not be our portion in Jesus' name. So for the men, cuddle. I advise men, hug, cuddle, and kiss your wife daily. Hug, cuddle, and it's a daily requirement. It's a daily tablet. Any woman you do that to on a daily basis will know that there is a show of affection. Hug, cuddle. I didn't say every other day. Daily. Yeah, every morning you hug when you... when he comes back, you give her a good hug. Nobody can do that outside. The best they can give her outside is a half hug. You are the only one that can give her the full hug. And hug and hold as much as possible. Cuddle, good kiss as much as possible. And tell her how wonderful she looks at, like every now and then. Hallelujah. Yes, yeah, so unconditional. Number two for the husbands. Husbands, every husband that is here tonight, if you have not done today's dose, go back home and give her a double dose. Number two, communication. Communication. Communication is vital for the success of the home. Communication is vital. Communication keeps the marriage going. In couples, when people are going out together, the way they communicate, you call each other, text, you chat, you love each other. But once you get married, you are far apart. It shouldn't be so. Communicate more often, even more now that you are married. Communicate with your eyes. Sometimes, you are in the public and you can't, or maybe your wife just walked in. Just wink at her. It doesn't matter who is looking at you. Whoever catches the wink, that's their own. It's your wife. Wink at her. Let her know you just saw her. Or give her a good thumbs up. Or shake it and let her know that you are there. Just do. Communicate. The most person you give calls to often should be your spouse. Praise the Lord. You have to do that. Avoid living like... Some people are living like landlord and tenants. And their husbands and wife. All that connect them together is... Esther, your food is ready. It's on the dining table. Or they bastardize. They say, Baba David, Baba Daniel, Daddy Samuel, Daddy IBK, Daddy Bolu, Daddy Motsun, your food is ready. Praise the Lord. You should not say, Yabisi, I finish it. Go and pass the plate. That's like a landlord and tenant relationship. Okay? That's avoid such. See, this life entirely is short. Your marriage, make sure, do all you can to ensure that that lady you have married, if they ask her, will you come back, if you are opportunity to come back to this world again, will you still pick this man? Do all you can to ensure that that lady says yes, I'll pick him over and over again. And you as a man, look at yourself. Before you marry this lady, is she better off now emotionally? Or she's depreciating? Is she better off in every way? It's because of the communication of affection. Communication. And I pray God will help us. And lastly, financial support. Financial support. Everybody knows the scripture in 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 8. He that cannot provide for his wife is worse than an infidel. I'm not going to read it, we all know it. But the truth of the matter is, masculinity is responsibility. A man that must get married or that is going to get married must be responsible. Responsibility is within the confines of what you earn, ensure you support your home well. Within the confines of what you earn, ensure you support your home well. Husbands, take good care of your wife. When your wife is happy because of the way you're supporting the home, God blesses you the more as a man. And I pray God will help us more in the name of Jesus. Quickly, my counsel for the married, make God to dwell in your home. Let God dwell in your home. Let God dwell in your home. You don't have a second marriage. It's just one marriage. The Bible supports just one. Bible supports it. Make God dwell in that home. And number two, avoid selfishness. Selfishness. Marriage is sacrifice. You have to be sacrificial. Sacrifice, sacrifice. That's why the Bible says, as Christ loved the church. That's the way the husband is expected. And the wife too must submit. As how? Just as what? The church is in submission to the Lord. It's total. The two is total. Avoid. And then number three, counsel for the married, be faithful to your spouse. Any married man here, God forbid you have an affair outside. You are only heaping what? Coals of evil upon yourself. Any man that involves in adultery, having a relationship outside the confines of your marriage. Because my time is fast spent, I can't open scriptures for you, but I tell you, you are only digging your grave. And what is the truth? 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 7, you can go and read and further and explain some things. When you make your wife happy, God prosper the work of your hands. When you do things that make your spouse unhappy, your work cannot prosper. You have to ensure that you do all you can. See, married man, men, ladies will always come and toast you, directly or indirectly. So don't say because they are toasting me, they won't leave me alone. You have to make up your mind, just like Joseph did. They only want to destroy your destiny. They only want to destroy your life. But you have to make up your mind. And as ladies too, I have seen a whole lot of married women too involved in adultery. God will not make you to be a woman of such in Jesus' name. Ensure you guard your home. Prayer cover your home. Do all you can. Delilah proof it. You know that there's a particular lady going and coming. Pray her out of your husband's way and life. And let her know that her jurisdiction is just right there. Praise the Lord. Ensure you do all you can to safeguard your home. Be faithful to your spouse. Men, be faithful to your wives. Wives, be faithful to your husbands. And last counsel for the married, avoid bad counsel. Avoid bad or carnal counsel. Avoid bad counsel and avoid carnal behavior. Avoid carnal behavior. Bad counsel. Anybody, there's a saying in Yoruba that says, he that must give you material or that wants to give you a clothes, you will first look at the one that he or she is wearing to check if what he's giving you is worth it. If the person is wearing rags, he cannot give you anything better than the rags he's wearing. If somebody must give you good any counsel, or you have an issue in your home and you run to somebody for counsel, if the person you're asking counsel from, he or she is not even in her husband's house, or it's not in the wife he has sent, is that the second wife he's marrying? Tell me, what counsel can he give to you? Marriage is so sweet. All you need to do, but everything sweet, it does not come cheap. How many of us know that? Anything sweet does not come cheap. Oh, it takes a lot of time. A lot of time. A lot of preparation. A lot of, condiments. A lot of, and it takes what? Patience as well. And if you can put all these condiments together, by the time you serve it, oh my God, you will enjoy that meal. Why? Because that meal has gone forth with what? A lot of ingredients, a lot of patience. Marriages may have issues. But what do you do when they have issues? Don't run away from them when they have issues. Don't overflog it. Because the person you are running to meet may even have more issues than what you have. What you need to do is go on your knees Settle with God. Ask God to help you to be a better husband. Ask God to help you to be a better wife. And by so doing, that home will become an envy of all. I pray in the name of Jesus that our homes will be an envy of all. In the name of Jesus. Perhaps you are going through any issue in marriage or in your relationship. I pray in the name of Jesus, the author of marriage himself will breathe upon that home in the name of Jesus. Quickly, can we be on our feet as we begin to appreciate God for all that we have learned tonight?
Wow! I know you must have been blessed by this message. Please feel free to worship with us at Impact House International Church, Praise Tabernacle, along Pipeline Road, Ilorin. For more inquiries, you can call 081-086-78878 or visit our website www.impacthouseinternationalchurch.org. Appreciate you.